Let's get back to How to Tour Italy on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's your host, Anthony Capozzoli.
Hi, everybody. This is Anthony Capozzoli with the How to Tour Italy radio show, and I am here with Lauren at Cooking Vacations in absolutely beautiful Positano. And I have to admit that I flipped this around. It sounded like when we did the video segment that we did the radio segment first. That isn't actually the case, and I'm kind of loosey-goosey now because we had some fantastic homemade limoncello, learned the secrets of how to make it the real way, the Positano way, which was wonderful. So I would like to welcome Lauren Birmingham to the show from Cooking Vacations.
Ciao tutti. Have a second glass.
I think I will, if you don't mind. I love it. It was so delicious. And I have to tell you, yeah, the little one would be great. And we are live, everybody. Just so you know, we are doing the show from the Cooking Vacations balcony at their table, overlooking, I'm going to call it the Bay of Positano. But, I mean, I would say, in my opinion, no joke, the single best view of Positano I have seen. And I have been up and down this vertical town for 3 days. And this is truly amazing. So God bless. How did you manage to find such a beautiful place like this?
We work with a wonderful man called Constantino Mandara, whose family has a lot of property.
I guess so, because I would be hard-pressed to part with this place. It is amazing. I mean, I can't imagine. And the best part is people can come here and dive into the culture, learn how to cook wonderful cuisine locally from the Amalfi Coast in the Positano area here, and enjoy the food right here on this wonderful balcony. And the sink where you wash your hands and the food overlooks Positano as a whole. So I wish I could show you this. I'm going to take some pictures and put them up on the website on howtotouritaly.com. But this is fantastic. And thank you so much for having me. I know that you're really busy and booked with lots of clients. So
it's a pleasure.
Absolutely. So why don't we talk a little bit about your inspiration and what made you decide to come and do this? Because I know before here, if it's okay with you, I can mention your background in marketing in PR with the Boston Celtics and the Boston Bruins and all these very kind of high-powered organizations. So this is wonderful. I mean, I think you're living the Italian-American dream.
Thank you. I want to cry. No, it was a great, a great run, and I just wanted to do something else.
I'll tell you. And this is something else, all right. I'll tell you. I left corporate America myself to come and do the How to Tour Italy stuff, and I couldn't be happier. Of course, but nothing quite like this. So I'm curious if you want to talk a little bit about
Sure.
some of the cooking classes and some of the wonderful things, and then we'll get some other people at the table involved here and talk a little bit about the wonderful history of Positano, and it's kind of coming up from like an old fishing village, if you will, to what it is today.
It was probably right at the time of the war when the Americans fled Salerno and had to make their way to Monte Cassino. They discovered Positano. Shortly after that, John Steinbeck came here and wrote a lovely book, and it was published, and everyone came here, and then it turned into a wonderful attraction for Picasso and Coco Chanel and Stephen Andre and the writers, poets, musicians.
Oh, yeah.
And Jet Set, Jacqueline Onassis. However, it's still a little sleepy fisherman's town in a way because things don't change. There's no cinema. There's no daily newspaper. There's no McDonald's. There's no big supermercado. And those are the good things.
Oh, yeah.
And the families follow along in their grandma and granddad's footsteps. So we still have a lot of great purveyors, food makers, wine makers, cheese makers, limoncello makers, and they do it with a lot of passion. They do it without chemicals.
Right.
So a lot of these foods never really make it across the pond.
Right. Which is actually, I think that's okay. I mean, in America, we have enough food half the time. I mean, all the time. But when you come here, I think part of Italy, in my opinion, is finding the wonderful, delicious little places that don't make the guidebooks, if you will, or at least they don't make the bigger guidebooks because they're not easy to get to for the day trippers and things. And I think the best part about Italy, in my opinion, is the fact that they do have those little purveyors and artisans that make the cheese the old traditional way and the limoncello and things like that. So, and that's what's so wonderful. And I think when people come here, you help them kind of figure out and embrace a lot of that kind of the artisan culture of Positano, because it is way more, everybody, than just a ferry trip or a day trip here. I think that it's a shame that people do it, and I grit my teeth when I hear people say that, oh, we spent the day in Amalfi or the day in Positano. This should be, if you're here in Italy for 2 weeks, spend a week in the Amalfi Coast area and a couple days in each town at least. And I think, most importantly, come here to Cooking Vacations. You'll learn something, And all of the insight that Lauren will be able to share with you is amazing. And so why don't we talk a little bit about some of the cooking classes and some of the things that people can learn?
Melody and I are based here in Positano. However, we have around 80 different partners and friends in other parts of Italy where we've personally gone to find out more about their regions. Hmm. Because even from, for example, Positano to Amalfi or Positano to Sorrento, things change. What you see here on dishes, you won't see in Sorrento and vice versa. So that's a good thing. So aside from Positano, we're here personally, we have great people in other regions who show the secrets and the hidden addresses of their best cheesemakers. In the north, they make grappa. In Spiritually, they make Chianti. In Venice, they make black rice with a little baby calamari. So everything's different. So when someone comes here, we blend cooking classes with visits to artisans that still make all those old great things. Melody leads the market tours. She brings them down to the port to catch Salvatore, one of the last and remaining fishermen, although Peter Gennaro's son has now taken over. So the fisherman comes in. He has his own handmade nets that just catch the fish the old-fashioned way, and he catches daily fish, and the restaurant guys will run down and
Buy from him?
Buy from him.
And it's fantastic.
Sometimes he'll do cooking classes up here. And you'll see fish even from him that aren't available in the local fish markets. Melody can tell you about Salvatore's baby little fish.
They call them the gamberi di fratillo because they call him little brother because his older brother is the one that runs the boats. And, and fratillo, the little brother, is the one that does the fishing. So he catches these little red shrimp that are really, really red and really hard to catch. And they say the best way to eat them is raw. He was doing a cooking class up here with us.
Why not?
And Lauren was popping them down just raw.
That's great.
They're beautiful to see, too, because they also have little blue eggs on the inside that you can see. It's incredible.
Really? And that his name is Salvatore. And in order to, if you want to meet Salvatore or try one of these shrimp, you have to come here to Cooking Vacations, obviously, and get a connection in. So that's awesome. And, well, actually, hold on a second. Two things, Melody. I'm sorry. I stopped her from passing the mic back to Lauren because I have two quick questions. If you could talk about the markets, because I think, that is one of the best ways to kind of dive into Italian culture is to experience the markets. People always say, I'm going to go to Campo di Fiori in Rome as a comparison. And I think that's probably one of the single best things to do. Everyone always says, what should I do in Rome? And I say, well, there's a couple main things. One is the Colosseum. The other one is the Roman Forum. The other is the Vatican Museums. The Pantheon is probably number four. And then I would tie that with maybe Piazza Navona. And then number five is Campo di Fiore because you can explore and enjoy the culture. So if you wouldn't mind, talk a little bit about some of the local experience of market going here in Positano.
Sure. Positano, because it's vertical, we don't have a big open horizontal space for a big open market like Campo di Fiori. So the markets that we visit are the little shops within Positano. So what we visit are the little shops that have, you know, the local cheese that's made up in the hills. They pair with the local prosciutto that's similar to the Parma prosciutto that most people know about.
Sure.
But this is made only up in the hills here. So it's similar but has a totally different flavor. The provolone del Monaco, they call it the monk's cheese that the monks would wrap on their belts and bring to market, things like that. So there are some really interesting things to see and taste, of course, in the markets in Positano.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. I think you should always go out of your way to find out where the markets are. If you're coming in on a cruise ship and you only have a day or you're taking a day trip, which, I grit my teeth, and I hesitate to tell you this, but you should definitely go out of your way to find out where the markets are. And the first thing you should do is when you go to a restaurant, ask a server, where are you going to eat tonight? And wherever they tell you, you should probably go eat. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the more popular, easily accessible places often have good food, but the best food and to experience the culture of Positano and the Amalfi Coast is to go where the locals go, which is usually up here since it's so high up. And actually, one last thing, Melody, if you don't mind talking about the ginormous, I'm going to call it a lemon. I know it's not a lemon, but maybe for the listening audience, a little bit about what that is. And when you come to Positano, if you haven't been, you'll see bins at all of the fruit markets that have these, they look like enormous football-sized lemons. And I've learned today, much to my chagrin, that I was wrong. I'm always wrong most of the time. That's why I come and interview experts like I'm doing now. A little bit about this. So if you wouldn't mind, that'd be great. And actually that one little bit about how to eat it too.
The chedro. So, and he's talking about the lemon chedro is what they call it. And it's big. It's bigger than a grapefruit. It has a really kind of rough looking skin. but then when you pick it up, you realize that it's actually fairly light. On the inside, it's really a small lemon. The lemon on the inside is maybe the size of your fist, maybe a little bit smaller. And most of what you have in there is the white pith. So what they do is they slice it up, sprinkle sugar on it, and you eat the white pith. And they serve it as a digestive after the meals.
That's wonderful.
So they call it, in addition, the name is chedro, they also call it the limone di pane, the bread lemon, because you eat that bready part of the lemon that has the light lemon flavor.
That's fantastic. And I haven't seen, I've been in Positano a couple of days now, kind of touring around and finding things out for the next book, etc. And I haven't seen it on the menu yet. So Melody tells me that if you ask for it, and it's accessible, that the restaurant will likely make it. So that might be something to check out or try when you're here. And I'm hoping to try it out myself. And we just cut one open, and it is, oh my God, it's an inch thick.
It's all white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
So you get a tiny little square of the lemon at the end of your slice, but most of what you eat is that light white pith. It's like a nature's candy almost.
It really is. And it does, it has more of a, kind of the scent and the smell of a grapefruit, but you say it tastes like a lighter lemon, not a sour lemon, right? Like a little sweeter.
Right.
Which is amazing. And we were talking earlier before we got started on the radio segment. Pardon me, I'm struggling over the little limoncello stuck in my throat here. I apologize. and we were talking, and Lauren's mom mentioned that some of the old timers actually, instead of using for silver. You said the polished silver, that they actually use lemon juice, which is an organic way, and I didn't know this, to clean silver at home. So that might be something to try if you want to go green or organic. Maybe to just take some fresh lemon. And believe me, you're not going to find lemon that's as delicious and as wonderful smelling as it is here in Positano. But you'll do your best in the States, and you can actually kind of untarnish, if you will, or polish your silver. So that's something that's pretty cool. And something else I thought was interesting, and I forget, what was the name of that Christmas dessert that the five-star chef came here to Positano on the hillside to learn how to make?
Struffoli.
Yeah, and now a five-star culinary expert came here to Positano to learn from a local woman who has been making it her whole life. And those are the kind of things that you can kind of dive into here, and not just in Positano, but Italy, throughout Italy. It's the little things like that, whether they are chefs or winemakers. I've even tried honey, up north that has been some of the best honey I've ever had in my life. And I don't know what they do to the bees, if they massage the bees or whatever it is, but it's amazing. So, I'm not even sure what a struffoli is, I have to admit.
Struffoli, it's a light batter. You drop it in, a light frying oil, like a sunflower oil or mm-hmm. a soya oil. And they look like little nuggets. And you pile them up in sort of a cone shape.
Oh, I have. Okay. All right.
Drizzle honey and little sprinkles. And it's
I have seen that Neapolitan
dessert.
Oh, right.
Another dessert here that you won't see in America is the melanzana cioccolata.
It's chocolate eggplant?
It's a chocolate eggplant dessert that's made the same way as eggplant is. It sounds awful, but
no.
Awful. It's cut long. It's just flash fried in a light frying oil, cooled, and then layered with a melted chocolate. Some chefs spike it with liqueur. Some chefs crunch up toasted pinoles. Some chefs put the candied orange between it, and they lay it and chill it. And it's a typical dessert, mostly of Amalfi and Minori.
Wow.
But you will see it here. We do it in our cooking classes here, in the Chocolate Lovers cooking class.
That is the kind of thing that you'll not find if you come here and spend just a day on a day trip. Like, that is amazing. I've never even heard of that before. Here in this region, I don't know why it is. I'm going to try this now. This is limone di pane with the sugar on it. And I am very excited to do so. Now, I don't have to eat the fruit of the lemon. I just have to eat the pith, right?
You can eat the fruit and eat the pith, but don't eat the skin.
Okay. I'm gonna take my first bite and go in here. Like, I'm very excited about this. So I'm going to take 1 second away from the mic. It's delicious. It really is fantastic.
It's refreshing.
Oh, my God.
It's healthy.
Yeah.
It's digestive.
And this is a digestivo. This is something that they would serve after a meal to kind of help you relax and digest what you've eaten, along with the anisette. But there's a the sambuca is wonderful. Finocchio, that's what it is. Finocchio. See, again, the limoncello is going to my head, but the Finocchio. But this is amazing. Let me tell you something. Don't just take pictures of what you would call the big lemons. Buy them and bring them back with you and slice them up real thin, about as thin as, I don't know, what about a half an inch, maybe a quarter inch thick, I suppose, and put some sugar on there. This is delicious. I'm going to take another bite and, oops, I'm spilling on my pants, but I'm not going to let it go to waste. I'm going to eat it. Yeah, there's so much wonderful food to eat here. And one thing I was always wondering about, and I get asked all the time, why is it that the espresso and the pizza, specifically like pizza from Naples, is so much better? The espresso here, the whole region of Campania, I think, has got the best espresso. I could drink it, and it doesn't have that kind of bitter note at the end that you often find up north and things. Why do you think that is?
It's the way they roast it.
Yeah?
We actually have a new program going up with our colleague Gina in Rome, and it takes you into a 7-day in-depth, hands-on experience with one of Italy's most important coffee roasters. It's not a big name that you'd see. It's a small house that roasts and produces for some exclusive restaurants and cafes. Making coffee here is an art. The baristas
Definitely.
Really have to know what they're doing. And in our slow cooking programs, we have one for Positano, we really feature and bring people to these hidden addresses, like a bread maker up in the hills here who has a brick oven wood burning, and she makes about 1,000 loaves a day. It's very crusty. It's called pane carfone, meaning it's old world bread.
Yeah.
She uses two different kinds of levitos or rising agencies, the double zero flour. The salt is different. All Italians use Sicilian sea salt. The oils are good. The flour, the sun, especially the Campania region, it's a very fertile land because of the volcanic soil, the water, the sea salt, and the constant sun, practically 12 months per year.
Maybe. Yeah.
If you look in our garden here, we have three garden pieces, you know, giant squash flowers, beautiful cherry tomatoes, and the gardens grow from spring till probably, I mean, you can still have broccoli in December.
See, and that's amazing. And then that's the other thing about Positano, I think, that people overlook. When you go up, and you'll see all these wonderful little gardens and personal, I'm going to call them piazzas, but they're little patios. You'll see all these wonderful things, and you can, you know, don't be rude. Don't open, if the gates are closed, don't be rude and open the gates. But if they're open, you can peek your head in and take a picture. If you're polite, don't cross into their patio, but
probably welcome you in.
Yeah, I'm sure they would. I know, but I'd hate to open the floodgates on something like that. But that's some of my favorite things. Even walking down here, which, by the way, it's very easy to get to cooking vacations because you mentioned earlier that you get picked up and brought here directly by a personal car service, which is wonderful. And it's very easy to get to. And overlooking the balcony, you can see into the sea, which is a wonderful clear, like a light azure blue. Think of the kind of the blue that Michelangelo used in the Sistine Chapel ceiling. It's that kind of blue. In fact, when you're walking in the Pope's hallway on the way to the Sistine Chapel, there is an emblem, rather, if you will, of one of the popes, and we'll talk about that in another show. But on the floor is a particular azure, which is very expensive, and that's why the artists of old chose not to use it as often as they probably could have, is because it's very, very expensive to harvest. It's very expensive to make into color, and if they made any mistakes, it cost them a fortune, and their patrons used to get very, very upset. However, this particular patron did so and was funding it because it was the Pope. They have all the money that they could ever need, and every Sunday people give them more, so it works out really nice. But the point is, the sea is that color blue, and you'll know what I'm talking about. I interviewed Grant from Eden Walks the other day, and that was one of the places he stopped. So if you take a tour with Grant, you'll see the same blue I'm talking about. So I digress. However, the gardens and things that you'll see here, you get picked up, dropped off, and you can enjoy the gardens that are right out front. And I did notice firsthand, in fact, I stopped to look in awe at your zucchini flowers, because one of my favorite things here in Italy, and I eat them as often as I can, are the deep-fried zucchini flowers with the mozzarella cheese and the anchovies, which are, all I can say is, oh, my God. I love them. Do you do those here? Do you make those
we
for
make
people?
Them.
Oh, I love them. I do love them.
We make them in all of our classes. Usually they're made with a light ricotta, a little bit of mozzarella that's chopped fine. Some chefs put basil. Some chefs put a little anchovy. Some chefs don't. Some chefs put a little day-old prosciutto.
That's so good.
They're dipped in a flour, egg, and club soda or
some
Pellegrino or beer batter, and they're deep fried.
Oh, they are delicious. Any chance you get to try them, anywhere you go in Italy, definitely give them a try because they're wonderful. And I find that they are a bit different region to region. I always get them at one of my favorite restaurants in Rome called La Campana. They have them on the menu 24/7, 7 days. It's the place is wonderful. So, but down here in Campania, they're as good, if not better. So, definitely try that. So I was wondering, we've got, a few more minutes. I was hoping that we could talk a bit about, some of the kind of the insider tips without giving away too many trade secrets, because I really want people to come here and experience cooking vacations to get to the real experience and your expertise here. But maybe talk a little bit about, you mentioned, Tre Sorelle. Talk about that would be nice if that's okay, and a little bit of some of kind of the secrets of Positano, and so people can really get the sense that this is more than just a tourist stop for the day.
There's lots of things to do. Historically, Positano was a fishing town. The main church in the center is built on Roman ruins. If you go into the church, you can see where they've left glass windows on the floor. It's rich in culture. They say when... Ulysses.
Oh, Odysseus, yes.
When Ulysses sailed the Tyrrhenian Sea, which is right here in front, he had his mateys wax the areas but tie him to the bow of the boat.
Oh, sure, the sirens.
He went by the islands here, which were the bathing grounds for the mermaids. He sailed right by and wasn't mesmerized by their music, and then the mermaids turned to stone. So there's lots of books, and there's lots of interesting folklores with Positano. If you look, you can see it from up here. There's two holes in the mountain, and one looks like the shape of a devil, and one is the shape of a Madonna. And in June, they have lots of feasts and so forth. There's an incredible light show with holograms that recreates the devil chasing the Madonna, and the Madonna went through the mountain, but the devil didn't. So the devil's mountain is sort of burned. But, there's lots of different feasts and sagras and food festivals really all year long.
I love it.
So it's more than a jet set town. Denzel Washington comes here all the time.
I love Denzel.
Rod Stewart. And once it gets really warm, the yachts will be bobbing in the water. But we bring people here to share, our family with them and the foods that are everlasting, that are part of the culture. A lot of them are poor man's foods, like the tarallis, which were made with, water, flour, olive oil, and seeds, fennel seeds, pepper seeds, fenugreek seeds. Mm-hmm. And they were, made so that they could keep, and people used to travel with them. The mountain people, the fishermen, they would dip them in cappuccino in the morning.
Yeah, wine.
A vegetable soup in the afternoon, or a hot cup of wine in the afternoon, cold autumn day. So a lot of those poor man foods are still alive and kicking here.
That's the thing. I mean, you really have to come and experience this. It is a wonderful place. And if I could bother you for one last question,
sure.
How do people find you? I mean, let's talk about your website and how people can get to come here and experience this wonderful place.
Most of our clients, I would say all of them, it's word of mouth. It's the website, cooking-vacations.com. We've been really blessed with a lot of great articles. The New York Times, last year we were voted in Esquire's Black Book, Best Cultural Cooking Vacation. We were written up in Cooking Magazine and New York Times for our kids programs. Kids are half price.
That's
under
great.
10, 5 and under, they're free. We have little kids as young as 3 years old in the class rolling pizza, stamping out ravioli, making gelato. National Geographic covered our footsteps for 2 weeks.
Really?
Year, and that'll be coming out next year.
Wow.
Todd English has
That's fantastic.
Led cooking trips over, and Todd gives us a recipe each month.
I love it. And then you're talking to little old me. That's fantastic. I love it.
But
I'm
we're
in
real
good company.
People here. We're not a big corporation. My mom's in Boston usually managing with our webmaster. Melody and I are here on this side of the pond.
That's great. Well, I'll tell you, everybody, this place is absolutely magical. I can see why Odysseus had to be tied to the mast and his ears plugged to avoid the sirens, if you will, because the sirens call here to Positano is amazing, especially if you do it right. If you come here and enjoy your time with cooking vacations and dive in with Lauren and Melody and learn all the little things about how to cook wonderful food and, more importantly, how to live the Italian lifestyle, La Dolce Vita, you'll be happy, happy that you did. And if you're lucky, you might get to meet her mom and her dad as well. We just got to share a little glass of limoncello, so thank you for that. That was
have
very nice.
One.
I'm going to have a little more. And with that, everybody, ciao. Thank you very much and for listening to the How to Tour Italy show. Remember, always feed your soul. Ciao, everybody.
If you love travel, imagine visiting one of the world's greatest cities and exploring it as very few ever have. Only Context Travel makes it possible. Context Travel offers in-depth walking seminars for intellectually curious travelers like you. It's your chance to experience a city as a cultural experience, unlike any traditional tour. Context Travel is a network of architects, historians, and art historians. They feature small groups of six or less, led by PhD-level scholars, with walks lasting from 3 hours to a full day. You can book a Context tour in seven great cities: New York, Paris, London, Rome, Florence, Venice, Naples, or Istanbul. Context Travel offers concierge services, art and archaeology walks, cuisine walks, shopping walks, and more. Visit us online at contexttravel.com. That's contextravel.com. That's contexttravel.com.